Welcome back to Tech Talk. Before the break, we were chatting to Tom Dunn about AI in music, and I completely forgot to mention this example. And now and then, if we must start again, well, we will know for sure that I will love you now and then. I miss you. Isn't that just gorgeous? It makes me happy every single time I hear it. That is Now and Then by the Beatles. But it's safe to say that that would not exist without artificial intelligence. Peter Jackson worked with the Beatles to strip a demo track that John Lennon did to enhance the vocal, remove the piano, and then add in other instruments to build it up. So I guess, you know, AI isn't all bad, but I would love to hear from you. If you are an artist, are you worried about AI or are you embracing it to create new art? What are you using? How is it going? And are you looking at this as an opportunity? You can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. But we are going to turn our attention now to social media because on the 5th of July last year, Threads entered the world. It entered part of the world because it wasn't available here in Europe to begin with. But 1 year on, what difference, if any, has it made to the world of social media? Cillian Ginnity from News Talk is with me now. Cillian, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well now, thank you. It's hard to believe it's been a year since Threads. Before we delve into it and whatever it is and will be, let's just go back and rewind the tape a little bit, because Twitter was the king of, you know, live sport, live politics, live news. It's where you went to get the finger on the pulse of whatever was going on. But then when Musk took over, bit by bit, the love for the platform and the trust on the platform seemed to dwindle.
Massively. And part of that is actually even down to how Musk acquired it, because he said he was going to buy it and then he tried to pull out and he says, until you show me how many bots and how many AIs are currently on the platform, I'm not going to buy it. And then he was forced to basically buy it. So that alone kind of put a question mark on the number of actual users that was on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Twitter was this incredible, what felt like open source news, where as soon as things were happening, you were finding out about it. And the amount of breaking stories that we've all learned about through Twitter, they all started from there, has kind of evaporated, partly because of people leaving the platform. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of normal users left it because they actually turned out to be an increase of certainly more visible bots.
Yeah.
I think we're all getting a lot of them kind of LinkedIn bio, random replies. Then there was also a massive, not to be hyperbolic, but there was a culling of staff and resources, which then allowed a lot more what most common people would refer to as unacceptable language and speech onto the platform, because it's no longer being monitored in the mm-hmm. same way. And whilst Musk has tried to be a bastion for free speech, he's now also kind of pulled back on that when he realised that advertisers don't want that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he's tried to pull it back, and then as he's called out on it, he then lets that go again. And it's this kind of tussle between one man's whim mm-hmm. and the want and desires of millions and millions of users. And in the end, it's leaving a platform that feels messy, clunky, and practically abandoned by most people that you'd actually talk to.
Yeah, it's very inconsistent. And I think that's the big thing that frustrated me last year when they got rid of the safety teams, the safety and trust teams. Like, that was a huge thing, and I definitely saw a difference in the content that was on the platform, but also the lack of reaction when something was reported. And I'm not just talking about someone saying that, you know, you look like an idiot. It's like vicious content was staying up on the platform.
And complete misinformation as well. There's lots of older videos now from, could have been a war in 2011 in Syria that's now being reported as if it's from Gaza.
Mm.
So there's now this constant questioning of what can you actually trust?
Yeah, well, I think to be fair, and, you know, I spoke about this with Stephen O'Leary a little while ago. Like, I've worked in News Talk for 16 years, and over that time, we have covered so many breaking stories, and I've been in here at all hours of the day looking to verify content. And, you know, we'd never run with anything until it was completely verified and we were sure of it. But now what's happening on Twitter, or X as they like to be called, is that the amplification of mis and disinformation is off the charts. So it could have just been, say, you putting up something from 2011 saying it's from today.
Yeah.
But now that seems to be presented in the For You page, or the, you know, like the two different tabs. And I find it very difficult as a user to go on and get information that is accurate, that interests me, that's relevant to me, and that I would be bothered seeing. You know what I mean?
You have to scrape through. You no longer have the safety net of being able to trust the blue tick either.
No.
I can, like, pay for that, whereas it used to be that kind of like, okay, if nothing else, I can give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
That's now gone.
But even, like, if you look at the like, obviously we had the UK election this week. We're coming up to a US presidential election, potential one here as well. Like, politicians used Twitter as a tool. Like, I always refer back to Hillary Clinton announcing her intention to run for the presidency on Twitter. She didn't hold a press conference. She took to Twitter. That doesn't happen to the same extent. Like, you still see people like Obama and even the Joe Biden account posting things with their blue tick, but they're also cross-posting on other platforms, or they're engaging with podcasts and traditional media. It's no longer the place where stuff... It's no longer the only place where stuff happens online.
No, and I think that kind of fundamentally comes down to where lots of journalists are, especially in the political realm. How can you get your news to as much people as possible? And that's kind of been eroded. And, like, even now we're seeing a bit like AI and stuff, not to always be harping on about that, but, like, all these AI videos of, in the UK election, of, like, Scottish leaders saying things that they actually didn't say.
Mm.
And you don't quite get that to the same degree on the likes of an Instagram, where things are a little bit kind of more verifiable, a little bit more trustworthy, and a little bit kind of generally lighter. I think there is also kind of a news fatigue
that
has not helped Twitter, and it's kind of pushed people off. Plus, the For You page used to be, I feel anyway, a lot more kind of tailored to what I wanted, and it seems to have kind of been invaded by blue ticks of these random accounts that I don't follow, I don't have any mutuals with, but then suddenly I'm going to see something about crypto. I don't want to know about crypto right now.
Yeah.
I don't follow it here. And I'm sure you're the same, where you kind of segment your interests by the app that you're using. I go to Twitter for this, I go to Instagram for that, I go to wherever for whatever. And that's, they try to be a little bit of everything to everyone, and they've become nothing to a lot of people.
Yeah, I find it, because I left Twitter for a while and I'm back on it the last few months. And I only went back on it because we were doing the mini marathon for the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, and I wanted to use it as an amplification tool for that. And it definitely worked. But I haven't been on it today, for example. And normally I go in and I'll check what's happening. I'll check my app mentions. I'll check my DMs. But I just, it's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit. And when these changes were happening at Twitter, like, I was on pretty much every show here talking about what's the new Twitter going to be. And there was an awful lot of talk about Mastodon at first. Yeah. And I'll be completely honest and hold my hands up. As a tech journalist, I couldn't figure out how it worked. I didn't understand it. It was
putting in the server and all that kind of stuff. It was just a little bit, it was not, the entry level for that was beyond most people. You had to have an understanding of kind of slightly the bones of how a social media platform works. It was kind of like having a Microsoft Teams or a Slack, but for everybody. And you had to know how to join that. And it just had all the best intentions. And everybody, there was a massive surge to it.
Yeah.
And its platform wasn't that bad, but it just kind of gave the impression of too small to be able to support what people wanted. And I think it kind of ended up being a blip on the map because of that. I know there's still a lot of kind of users on it, and it seems to be a generally nicer place than Twitter was towards the end. But I think fundamentally they just didn't have the money that, say, some of the other new Twitters did to be able to kind of compete.
And I think, like, the point you make about the, like, the first engagement you have with an app, if you get a headache when trying to sign up to have the crack online, you're going to walk away. And I just think I did eventually get set up and all the rest, but I just, it always felt that little bit clunky to me. And it wasn't the seamless. You could tell that it didn't have the money of the Threads or the Blue Skies or the whatevers. So that did die a death. Then Jack Dorsey, and I actually forgot about Blue Sky until you mentioned it a minute ago, but Blue Sky started hanging around, but they made the mistake, and I will stand over this forever, of making it too exclusive.
They tried to do what Bebo did when Bebo tried to come back, where you sign up.
And it didn't work.
Yeah. But it was like one of these kind of things, you sign up and then you will eventually get invited to it. And it was meant to kind of, I think, partly not have the problems of the likes of a Mastodon where they couldn't grow too quickly, so that when you are getting there, it will be a nice experience. But what ended up happening was most people forgot.
Yeah.
And then, like, 3 months later, you get an email. Like, I forgot I had a Blue Sky account until, like, last week when they sent an email going, oh, you can now invite more people, and because you're inviting them, they will get accepted. And I was kind of like, well, that's not the point of social media. Yeah. People want to join a social media to join it. Like, every click is an opportunity to click away, and putting an email and waiting is an opportunity to click away forever. And I kind of think Blue Sky has done that. And again, it kind of had a similar kind of thing to the Mastodon, where it was something about servers and all these kind of little bits. There was just an extra step beyond what people were kind of comfortable in doing.
Yeah.
Whereas Threads became so simple to sign up to.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if Twitter had never existed and if it was just Mastodon, obviously everyone would have just gotten on board with it. But we're kind of spoiled brats.
Absolutely.
Where you just put in your, you want to just create a username, put in an email, create a password and be in. Like, you don't want to faff around. And so that is absolutely, I think, a design flaw on both of those platforms. But Threads kind of came, there was rumors for a while that Meta would do something of this ilk. Eventually it happened. So on the 5th of July last year, Threads appeared in the App Store outside of Europe. It wasn't allowed launch here. And there was quite a bit of buzz about it, you know, because we thought, a lot of us thought, you know, we do want somewhere for that instantaneous sharing of news and updates. Doesn't need to be picture-based, so Instagram isn't the right fit. Logically, there should be something else. Can you remember the initial buzz about Threads?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work in social media, so obviously I'm going to be slightly biased in this. So it was a big thing. And I believe they got in and around 100 million signups in the first couple of days, which was the fastest growing app ever at the time.
Mm.
So it was fantastically buzzed about. And then I think the fact that the EU's and Facebook's interesting relationship.
Contentious, yes.
Yeah. That didn't allow it to come here kind of slightly added to the buzz, where people are kind of going, oh, what's this thing that we're not allowed? And I know plenty of people, including myself, got VPNs to try and get around it. And if nothing else, claim your account for when it comes. It's going to come. And I think what kind of slightly went against them in the sense that was it took too long to come into Ireland for us to kind of, the buzz had died down.
Yeah, it was like 6 months, 5 or 6 months later, wasn't it? It was December.
And it was to very little fanfare.
Yeah.
Like, there was no kind of big deal being made of kind of like, Threads has arrived. And I think part of that is Threads struggles with an identity crisis. It doesn't really know what it is. People want a new Twitter. They don't want to be a new Twitter. They like the, one of the most popular threads on Threads is their journalism and news. But that's not what they're seeking.
Yeah,
like,
they want
as a platform, they want it to be lighter. They want it to be closer to Instagram than Facebook. And it's not really working in the sense that, like, there is creators on there that are complaining that they're not getting enough reach. And part of that is, well, maybe you're just not creating content for that.
Mm.
So you end up with these kind of weirdly, I don't want to say viral, but Threads viral, that level, which is a very different metric. But they end up being these kind of like LinkedIn style one-off posts where it's all a little bit kind of like out of the blue and odd. There's very little kind of, you're not given a personality to things. And then the other thing, which I think so far has been a glorified death knell for them, is Meta, for this is really nerdy stuff now. So behind the scenes of Facebook and Instagram, there's Meta Business Suite. That's how most brands run their things.
Mm-hmm.
And Threads isn't on that. So you can't schedule posts. You can't really do brandy things. So if you have an account, you're the one that's logged into it. So like you can't be logged into multiple accounts on the one device. So if I'm working for News Talk and I'm doing the News Talk one, well then I either have my account on the phone or I have News Talk's one, not both.
Oh.
There's these little things that, like, it's not encouraging publishers.
Why is that? Because they don't want it, because they want to keep it light, or?
There's been no explanation for it. Now, one of the things they have done, which kind of gives me a little bit of hope, is on the desktop app, do you remember TweetDeck?
In the day.
Yeah, so you used to be able to, like, compose tweets, be able to follow your For You page, be able to follow, a hashtag or anything like that. You kind of cultivate this little kind of space for yourself to keep up with everything. Threads on desktop is like that now.
Mm.
You can have these little lists and kind of build up what you want to be seeing. So it kind of gives you a little bit of hope that they're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
They are making these updates rapidly. There's constant little changes. 2 months ago, there was just a little kind of aesthetic change that made it feel a little bit more premium. Makes it feel a little bit more like an Instagram version of Twitter.
Mm.
Little things like that. So they might do it, but until they incorporated into the rest of the business suite, I think they're going to struggle to attract the likes of news publishers, the likes of social accounts that rely on teams and teams of people to be putting out content. And maybe that's not what they're looking for. Maybe they are looking for something more individualistic, but that's generally the backbone of most platforms, brands.
Yeah. And look, they don't have advertisers and all the rest. Like, I'd say we're just at the beginning of this story, but I think because Twitter is such a hot mess, people are actively looking for threads to get to the level where they want to spend time on it. I signed up and initially I loved that, you know, people who followed me on Instagram could follow me on threads. I loved that kind of ease, even though I know that the DPC wasn't wild about it. But I do think from a user point of view, it was just a nice touch.
It populated a feed for you instantly. You weren't on like the likes of a Mastodon or a Blue Sky where you're just like, who do I follow?
Yeah, it was all there and it was kind of my people already. But now the only time I really open threads is when Instagram prompts me to. So, you know, you get the little notification of you've got 27 new updates or whatever. And then when I click in on that and I see that the people, like the notifications are just people following me. Like, so they've obviously just signed up to threads. They're all Instagram followers. They're not actually engaging with me. And then I look on the posts and that thing that you said, the kind of LinkedIn style personal post, like every time I click in, it's a woman whose husband has left her and she's got 5 tips to overcome loneliness. And you're just like, what?
It's all a little bit kind of like, what if you typed in AI, what should I do for social media posts?
Yeah.
It's a little bit kind of
clickbaity kind of
paint by numbers of a social media. Like, how do I get this? And like on my one, I get a lot of kind of like social media, like here's how to engage users. And it's all these kind of like borderline self-help style stuff.
Where it's all self-helpy.
Yeah, it's like, believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Be consistent. Be this, be that. And I think fundamentally, as I said earlier, it has an identity crisis. You go to Instagram because you want to see nice photos and you want to see your friends mm-hmm. on the likes of stories. You go to Facebook because you're of a certain age or you're trying to find, usually to connect with people, I find, more so than anything else. And it can be quite good for content or longer form videos. YouTube videos, longer form. TikTok is for whatever your algorithm's giving you that week
mm-hmm.
and people sign up for that. Twitter still is good at having the instantaneous updates because you have that the For You and you have the feed. And the feed is what's happening right now. So whoever you follow, it just keeps populating with the latest tweets.
Mm.
Threads are trying to find the middle ground between having the Instagram style, we will give you what you want when you want it. So it might be a couple of days before you actually see a post,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be best placed to give you the engagement. But it doesn't have the instantaneousness of having like to the second.
Yeah.
Update. So it has it like, you'll have it within the hour,
mm-hmm.
but if you're watching a football match, or if you're like right now with the UK election that's going on, if you're trying to find out what's happening in a certain constituency, well then you're going to be behind it on mm-hmm. threads. So as a user, where's the encouragement to be there?
Yeah, I do think the identity crisis point, I think, is such a solid one because like we're all given out that we're time poor and we all have more apps on our phones than we need and that we could possibly use in a day. And so I, the user, need to be getting something from it, and I need to know what I'm getting from it. So like Instagram is, I don't really do TikTok anymore. I've deleted the app from my phone because it's just not good for my soul. But like I could still waste the exact same amount of time on the Instagram reels. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I know what I get when I go to Instagram. Twitter, again, if I have something that I want to push out, which I know sounds very transactional, but that's how it is, chicken. I go to there. Facebook, I check in with every now and then, just sure, why not? Mm. But Threads, I just don't know where it sits in my media, in my social media diet. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And like, it's another one of these things that like, it hasn't fully embraced images. It hasn't fully embraced video either. And like, even LinkedIn is bringing in a TikTok style video feed.
Yeah.
So if everybody else is doing this, and including Facebook, like Facebook have dedicated teams and staffs for live videos now, and like even on Facebook now they have a gaming section for just video feeds. Everywhere else is doing it, so why aren't you? Is always kind of a question with this. And like traditionally in social media, like the best idea wins. Mm-hmm. Snapchat had stories, Instagram now has stories, and people would nearly forget that Snapchat was the one that had it initially.
About Snapchat, yeah. Loads of people still use Snapchat.
Snapchat is absolutely massive, and it's also a very good money turner.
Oh, really?
So the likes of the New York Times and stuff have very, very large subscriber bases for basically just getting like instantaneous news that links to articles. So it's very kind of headline-y, but it's with images. There's lots of really, really clickbaity articles, but like for every tree that you go through, you get an ad. So there is a place for grown-ups on Snapchat. It's not just filters and all these kind of things. But again, it has a purpose. It's instantaneous messaging via images. And again, Threads doesn't encourage you to reply, doesn't necessarily encourage you to message people. I'm not sure if there even really is a feature for that.
I find it all very problematic and clunky.
But apparently they have 175 million users now per month. Mm. So what my question of that would be is like, on your Instagram feed, when you're scrolling, sometimes you get the little kind of like snippets of a piece and you might click into that. Is that now, am I now a monthly user?
Yeah, well, I'd imagine so.
So it has people there, but people aren't staying. So it needs to find a reason to keep people. Mm-hmm. And until they either change how their algorithm works and make it a lot more for you, a little bit more TikTok-y in the sense that it understands if you're lingering on a post that you're actually interested in that. Yes, you don't need to always be engaging. And I think right now it's very engagement-led, and I don't know about you, but I rarely like things.
Yeah, no, same.
Yeah, it's not because of the Elon Musk hiding likes thing. I don't mind if somebody sees what I like. I just
can't be arsed.
Yeah. Mm. Or I'm not going to comment on it or anything like that. Like even with Twitter in the old days, you would retweet something, and it may not be because you agree with it, but more just to kind of amplify that this is what's happening. On Threads, it feels a little bit more kind of like I'm putting my name to this. Mm-hmm. So it's just in a really, really weird microcosm of people that are into social media trying it, journalists feeling like they need to be there, brands populating it sort of just so that they have a brand there in case it takes off. And I think for the general user, there's no encouragement to, one, take part and post, which then leaves you with what? A half-filled feed by brands and journalists that you normally like, but they're not, they have no encouragement to keep it going. You're not doing it to share to your friends because your friends aren't there. I have hope for it because they are updating it constantly.
Yeah.
And apparently they are increasing the size of their team. So their team right now is a fraction of the size of an Instagram, a fraction of the size of a Facebook. If they're expanding that, new ideas, new features, maybe there could be hope for them, 175 million users, to be active users rather than being like
monthly. Passive users. Yeah. If you are a Threads fan, let me know. You can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. Or is there another platform that we should all migrate to? I must download Snapchat again on my phone. But again, do let me know, techtalk@newstalk.com. Killian Ginnity, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.